It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Greetings, folks. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason that we broadcast each day is we're fathers. And we're raising our children in a day where 37% of children are born without fathers, half of marriages end in divorce, the academic quality of the schools around us are in decline, and hey, I don't know where this nation is going to be in another 20, 40 years from now, but I want something better for my children and grandchildren. We look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview on this program, and today, want to talk about homeschooling. Perhaps you have guessed that we like home education a lot. One of the things we're trying to do is return truth and relationships to a world that is lost and lonely. And we think homeschooling is an excellent way to do it. When God comes in His Word and says, "You shall teach your children my truth as you sit in your house," then we think you've got truth and relationships returned to the modern age. When a parent is willing to disciple their child, when a parent is willing to have a relationship with their child, I tell you what, I think you got to return to relationships, and when that parent is willing to use God's Word as the basis for truth, you've got to return to a biblical worldview and a return to relational discipleship that it will be sure to change the direction of the world as we know it. Well, that's the vision of this program. And homeschooling plays a major part in it. And homeschooling is a growing trend. It's the fastest growing form of education in the United States. It grows at a rate of 7 to 12% per year. There are approximately 2.4 million children being homeschooled. We guess somewhere between 50 and 60,000 here in Colorado. But you know the blessings. Homeschoolers are typically scoring between 20 and 30 percentile points above the national average on nationally standardized tests. Homeschoolers are growing up and they're influential in society. We're finding that they tend to lead wherever they go. Homeschoolers 18 to 24 years of age are 14 times more likely to be involved in politics than their counterparts from public and private schools. So we've got a lot of good things happening in the homeschool market. But in just a moment, we want to talk about the negatives. The downside of home education. I'm going to come at it from a perspective of a guy who's been in the movement for 42 years. I was raised as a homeschooled child by my parents out in Japan, and today we homeschool our children out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. And after 42 years of involvement in homeschooling and about 8 years as a leader of a major state organization in Colorado, I've got some perspectives on homeschooling. The downside of homeschooling is next on Generations. Back on Generations, this is Kevin Swanson, and today we are going to talk about the positives and negatives of homeschooling. First, the positives. Let me go down my list, Dave. I got a lot of reasons why we like to homeschool. Number one, I don't have to ask permission of the school district if we want to go to Disneyland for 2 weeks in the middle of October. Not that we've ever gone to Disneyland, but if I ever wanted to. We can pray anytime we want to. That's a benefit. I mean, we can pray without ceasing. We can pray out loud. We can yell our prayers if we want to. We can pray all day long, Dave, and the ACLU has never shut us down. The kids can kiss the baby anytime they want to, and that doesn't happen in the public school classroom. A child can be four different grade levels at the same time. You know, they could be in the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade at the same time. That doesn't happen in the public schools. A child can be a grade behind in math and be doing very well for themselves, and we're just fine with that as well. We don't care if they're where they're supposed to be in math. They are where God wants them, and we're going to be working with them wherever they happen to be. We've never missed the bus. That's a positive, Dave. You know, we don't even sweat it if the bus goes by, and we don't even get out there to wave at it. We do like to wave at it from time to time. There's something satisfying about waving at the bus as it goes by. I don't know what it is. Now, when we get a snowstorm, remember the snowstorm 2 weeks ago? We lit a fire down here in the fireplace, and the kids were studying in front of the fireplace. We study during the snowstorm where you get a foot or two of snow. But if it's a really good day, and it was a good day about a week later, all right, we knocked off the whole day. It was a Monday. We knocked off the day. We went out and had a picnic. It was a great day. I mean, what are you going to waste a good day? No, we went outside, and we took the kids to the park, and we thoroughly enjoyed the afternoon. And it was a school day. Everybody else was in school. But see, now, when we have snow, I think we got this straight, Dave. When we have snow, we stay in the house, we read, and we study. When it's a really good day, we go outside and have a party, a picnic or a party. That's I think, getting it straight.
No,
public schools have it all wrong.
I disagree, because when it's a snow day, it should be a physics lab day where children experiment with gravity and a low coefficient of friction on a sled. I think they should have lab.
Okay, well, and the younger children were out there experimenting with the sleds. And then here's the other reason why we like to homeschool. You can bring guns to school. Yeah. It's totally legal in Elbert, Colorado. Now, not in the schools, but it's okay in your home. If you're homeschooling, you can bring a gun to school. And sometimes my son will study with his .22 leaned up against his desk, and, you know, occasionally. Now, you don't really need your gun, technically, all right? But you can bring him to school if you want to. There's always somebody to take out the trash, and here's the other reason. The reason we like to homeschool is the teaching staff is totally in love with each other, and we make out in front of the class. Now, Dave, now that is something you can never do in the public schools.
No.
Right.
Nor would you want to.
Right, exactly. But here we do. I'm kissing my wife in front of the whole... The kids love it. All right, reasons why we like to homeschool, but I told you we were going to go over the problems with homeschooling, the downsides of homeschooling, and let's be transparent, let's be real here. There are problems with homeschooling, Dave, and the number one on my list is sometimes marriages really suffer. Now, especially recently, as I'm executive director at our local state organization, we have had, it's got to be weekly calls and emails from families where the marriage is falling apart and the woman is saying, I still want to homeschool my kids, my husband's divorcing me, and will you find a good lawyer? Do you have a good lawyer for me? Dave, that to me is a heartbreak. I mean, these marriages are falling apart. Part of the reason is the dad is not on board. The dad is not on board. The mom is doing the work. The dad isn't on board. And the homeschooling itself becomes a rift in that relationship. And that's not good.
Well, there's several points here. One is that often homeschooled dads put burdens on their wives and they wear them down. The wife works extra hard. She has additional responsibilities. And she's worn out. And frankly, she's looking for a little help from her husband, who may not be engaged. But homeschooling doesn't cause this problem. This is the stuff that is already inside the marriage. Homeschooling just applies a little pressure and squeezes it to the surface. And so I don't think that it's fair to say this is a result of homeschooling.
Some have accused homeschooling of being matriarchal. In fact, Doug Wilson, in his book, Excused Absence, talks about homeschooling being matriarchal. But, you know, there's something deeper at work here, Dave. There's something more fundamentally wrong, not with homeschooling, but with America. There's something wrong with the way families operate today. And yes, for the most part, families are way too matriarchal. And yes, the homeschooling movement was basically a mother's movement from the beginning because mothers were out there concerned about their kids being destroyed by the public schools academically, intellectually, morally, socially. And it was mothers that acted and engaged, and dads didn't. And that's why day in and day out on this program, we are exhorting fathers to get engaged, get your rear in gear, and be a dad in that home. Get a little vision for your home and raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If the father doesn't take that responsibility, and God holds him responsible for it, Ephesians 6:4 is very clear. It doesn't say mothers, it says fathers. Fathers, God speaks directly to fathers. He says, fathers, you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God puts the responsibility and the culpability of raising children rightly in the laps of fathers. And, you know, if dad is out there dumping everything on mom, I think he's just abdicating his responsibility. And here's the other thing, Dave. Maybe he's not loving his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm just throwing it out.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we say that, fathers, you should not support your wife's homeschool. You really shouldn't support your wife's homeschool.
No.
She should be supporting yours, though.
That's right. That is, dad should be the one with the vision. And if dad's got the vision, then he needs to do what it takes to come alongside his wife and make sure that he's not binding heavy burdens upon his wife like the Pharisees did. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 23. He's not to do that. He's to be the example. He should be the chief sufferer. He should be the man who's willing to go the extra mile in the home to do the extra work. And that may mean coming home at 5 o'clock from a heavy day at work and putting another 2 hours into the homeschooling and helping with a class or two. Certainly it involves involvement in the choosing of curriculum and laying out the family values and how those values are going to be expressed in the curriculum given to the children. Man, his vision needs to be right there in that vendor hall or in that homeschool catalog as they choose the curriculum.
And Kevin, I think this is particularly amplified when you're raising boys. If a father does not raise his boys to be men, he can't expect his wife to do that. His wife doesn't know what it means to be a man. He needs to take that burden, that responsibility, those particular tasks need to come through his labors. He needs to raise his sons to men.
And Dave, you jumped on my second point in terms of the problems of homeschooling and as boys. Yeah, I think that homeschooling has been a disservice to a lot of boys. Because here's what happens. When you disciple a boy by means of his mother and nothing but his mother, year in and year out, and I'm not saying they're in the early years. I think the boys do need that time of nurture with their mothers early on. But if those apron strings are just as tight as that boy turns 10, 11, 12 years of age, we got a problem here. That boy is either going to do two things. Now, I've seen this again and again and again as a leader in the movement and in my own home. Again and again, well, here's what happens. Those boys either become rebellious against their mother and reject and rebel against their mother and begin to become very disrespectful to their mother, or they become mollycoddled and sissified and they become effectively women-like.
Sissified. Sissies.
Yes. They become sissies. That's right. And that, my friends, is devastating to boys. Now, what do you do with a teenage boy? What do you do with a 12, 13-year-old boy, and you know that he needs a man in his life? He needs a man to be discipling him. Dave, I think you've got a few options. One is dad can come home and start working with him a little more. He can bring his boy to work with him. I've suggested this, counseled a couple of guys, to just go ahead and take their boy with him. And I remember I told a contractor that he ought to do something like this because the boy was starting to reject his mother's discipleship. I says, why don't you just take him to work with you, bring a few books with you, along, and he can do some works and then pound some of his schoolwork and then pound some nails on the side. And about a year later, the guy got back to me and says it's made a whole different boy out of this little boy. He was like 13, 14 years old when this happened.
Yeah, and then, of course, the third option is you can delegate some of that. You can put in your son to work for another man in an area he might be interested in, and so there's a mentorship there. Now, that man that you're putting him under, though, has to be a Christian. He has to teach him whatever that skill and trade is in the fear of the Lord. But you can do that because if you have a corporate job, your son may not be welcome in your cube.
I recommended that just yesterday, Dave, to a single mom I was counseling. She had a 17-year-old boy, and man alive, that boy needed a man in his life more than he probably needed anything else. I recommended to her that she work with a Christian man and bring, you know, that boy under apprenticeship there for maybe 6 months to a year. So, folks, boys can be a significant problem in the homeschool environment, and you can solve it by bringing dad or bringing a Christian man into that boy's life. All right, now here's another problem I've seen within homeschooling. That is what I call the ultimatization of the family. And this is when the homeschool family begins to see that the family is all there is in life. All right, this happens because homeschoolers really do reintegrate the family. It's a good thing. That's good. All right? When you're reintegrating the family and you're beginning to bring the family back together after 150 years of industrial revolution and the division of labor and everything else, the segregated classrooms and everything else that has just done awful, awful things to the family, what can happen is these families begin to think that their family is all that exists. And Dave, I have run into homeschool families where they're really not part of a wider community. They're not part of a church, let's just say it. They're not members of a church. They're not willing to commit to any church. No church is good enough for them. What you wind up with is no church accountability in their lives. This is one of the most unhealthy things I have ever seen happen to homeschool kids. And by the way, I knew kids back in the 1970s who were being homeschooled. Their parents were never part of a church. No church was good enough for this family. And to this day, Dave, I'm talking about 35, 40-year-old kids, to this day, those children are spiritually weak, and in many cases, they've walked away from the church entirely. They walked away from the faith.
Well, those people have a weak kingdom vision because God's kingdom expands predominantly through His church. He tells us to submit to the elders. Well, if there are no elders, then there is no submission. There's a huge violation there. I think what it really amounts to, though, is an overcorrection, an oversteering. If you're heading towards the ditch on the right side, you steer away from it to the left. Sometimes they steer a little too hard, and they end up in the ditch on the other side.
So the solution for this one, my friends, is to make sure that if you homeschool, you're still part of the wider community of the church. And let me say this, not just any church, but a church where they teach the Bible, and a church where there's decent accountability. That is, if you're not part of that church, if you're going to go astray, if you begin to break the seventh commandment or you don't attend church, somebody's going to call you up and say, hey, they're going to call you on the carpet and say, why aren't you walking in the ways of the Lord here? I'm talking about real accountability here. And I'll tell you what, there's a homeschool father or mother out there who says, I don't want that kind of accountability. Dave, there's a problem there.
Yeah, they should join a church that they're able to be thrown out of.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or they might be thrown out of if they don't walk in God's ways. Certainly ought to be, you know, an accountability structure where there's some trust laid out between those that they're accountable to and themselves. But they certainly ought to be part of that wider community. That's what God requires in His Word. All right, here's another issue. And that is that I think sometimes not only can the homeschool family be too family-centered, but sometimes we can be too focused on the individual. Okay, this is especially true for the homeschool family who has one child, or where they're putting too much emphasis on the individuals. If they're not putting emphasis on the serving of brothers and sisters, or the serving of others in the church, or the serving the widows in the community, and I find this sometimes with homeschoolers, there's a lack of interest in outreach, in evangelism, in politics sometimes. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to come down to the Capitol and defend homeschool freedoms, or defend the freedoms for others. In the society, they you know, they're just so focused on serving the needs of the individual, they have no interest in anything else going on in the world.
Again, Kevin, I think this is an oversteering, an overcorrection. In trying to protect the family, they don't let the family become vulnerable in outside relationships. In trying to raise their children, they don't engage the broader kingdom. They don't have a vision for the kingdom. I think it's just a simple matter of overcorrecting, trying to reestablish and rediscover this thing that God established and ordained, the family.
Problems we see in the homeschooling movement today, my friends. And Dave, don't you think this is important to sometimes step back and kind of look at what you're doing and some of the mistakes that are inherent in what you're doing and just use God's word to sort of correct what you're doing? And the problem with homeschoolers sometimes is there is so much pride there. And maybe, again, this is a problem that exists everywhere on planet Earth, but sometimes there's so much pride that we are not correctable. And we resist anybody coming up to us and saying, hey, you know what, I'm beginning to see a little bit of a lack here. You need to correct this or this in this area or in that area. So pride, ladies and gentlemen, can be a problem with anybody. Sometimes homeschoolers think that they are the very best, obviously, to do very well in academic tests. But again, there are problems, and we ought to remain humble before God and before others, because pride comes before a fall and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yeah, and the problem is that every one of my students in my particular homeschool are sinners. Yeah. They're all, every one of them is a wretched sinner. And so, you know, that's my class makeup, and we're going to have to deal with that.
Another problem is what I call superficial legalism. All right. Now, legalism is a word that has been misused, mistranslated, misapplied in probably every other instance where it's used. But there can be a superficiality that happens, that occurs within homeschooling. And this happens, my friends, when you begin to what I call ultimatize the application, when you say that the Bible is all about homeschooling, and you say the homeschooling is the very heart of obedience to God. Or when you begin to say that if you dress a certain way, you are modest, but then you run out there and start looking down your nose at everybody else and thinking about how wonderful you are because you're dressed so much more modestly than everybody else. What a mistake have you made there, Dave? Now you've got a tremendous immodesty of heart going on here. You know, when your heart is full of pride because you are so modest, you got a problem. So again, when it's just a superficial thing, you're just homeschooling because you're homeschooling, not out of love for God and love for your children. When you're dressing modestly because you're following a list of 37 rules you've read about modesty, but there's a tremendous immodesty and pride of heart there, what you get is just a gross, gross, superficial, legalistic hypocrisy there, Dave. And over the years, man, I have seen that thing implode. And, you know, we have seen families that are some of the most well-behaved families, some of the most wonderful families you could ever imagine on the outside, well-behaved, well-dressed, et cetera, homeschool families. And yet, you know, when you dig, you find out there's a lot of pride there. And they come out with, you know, over the years, turns out there's, you know, sexual problems, incest, et cetera, going on in the home. And you gotta conclude that whatever they had on the outside was just a fraud. It was just a superficiality. And on the inside, all you had was a bunch of dead men's bones. And again, I'm referring to Jesus' reference to the hypocrites, the Pharisees that existed in Matthew 23. Another potential problem for homeschooling, my friends, today is that homeschooling can overemphasize academics and effectively bring into the classroom, the homeschool classroom, exactly what you have in the public school classroom. And, Dave, that sort of thing just doesn't work.
And that's a tendency of most homeschoolers when they start out, is they bring the form that they know, which was the public school, and they bring it into their home. But God's method is a walk. It's when you rise up. It's when you lie down. It's as you walk along the road. It is a life of training the child, not an hour sitting at a desk with a pencil groove.
Where character is preeminent, and that parent needs that relationship to disciple that child in character. But on the other hand, there's also, I think, the temptation to underemphasize academics. This is the overreaction. So sometimes you have homeschoolers that just throw all of academics to the wind, and effectively parents become softer than teachers, and in the end you have worse character than what you had when your children were in the public schools. So you don't have diligence, you don't have character that is developed by means of the Saxon algebra lessons that they go through day in and day out. So again, folks, these are the drawbacks of homeschooling. Moreover, relationships are forming typically in the homeschool environment, and relationships can be dangerous things if they're not attended by prayer, discipline, and love, and the reading of the Word of God every single day. If you're not careful, if you're not nurturing those relationships, I'll tell you what, relationships can backfire. You can wind up with a lot of violence and eruptions in the home. And a lot of pastors have told me that homeschoolers can be more difficult to deal with than anybody else because they're not dealing rightly with relationships. They're in close contact with each other day in and day out, and they're not doing what it takes to nurture those relationships. Finally, the final potential problem with homeschooling is the overburdening of the family. And this is when the homeschool family is just trying to do too much. Perhaps they're trying to retain that materialistic lifestyle with both parents working outside of the home and homeschool at the same time. And folks, it doesn't work to maintain that materialistic lifestyle and the lifestyle that God commends in His Word. If you're going to homeschool, you're going to need to simplify your life. And Dave, I've seen some instances where people have signed their homeschool kids up for everything. I mean, you name it. They got them in extracurricular activities. They've got them in ballet and soccer, speech contests, 4-H, speech and rhetoric, on and on and on. They've signed their kids up for everything on planet Earth. because they've got this idea that somehow if their children learn everything that there is to learn, that they will be successful. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not God's definition of success. And perhaps, Dave, now is the time to get back to the very, very basics of life. The wisest man on earth, he was very well educated, Solomon did an entire book trying to figure out what life is all about. And success, as it turns out, in the book of Ecclesiastes, is fearing God and keeping his commandments. And we're going to limp up to the microphone to explain it once more. Success in life is fearing God and keeping his commandments. And I hope that's the education you're giving your children. And that's why I wrote the book Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. I'd encourage you to get a copy of it. Get it at KevinSwanson.com. Just click on store and you can pick up your copy of Upgrade today at KevinSwanson.com and click on store. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.